All right, well, obviously we're making our way through the book of Acts here. And Paul's closing words to the Ephesian elders on truths to take to heart. And that's what we've been looking at. And again, the past couple weeks, Mike has shared and various things. But this morning, my wife is going to, and this, she really feels strongly the Lord has laid on her heart to share with this congregation here. And I know she has prayed a lot over this message. She has written it out. She wanted me to read it to make sure it was coming across in the right spirit. And I believe it is. And there are times that we do. We need to look at what we're doing and how we're going about things and how it comes across. And that's what Michelle is going to share today. And I told her that she needs to speak up and get in because she's pretty quiet. And so anyway, and hopefully Kathy can get this recorded. And so anyway, Michelle, come on up.
Good morning. So I'm going to preface reading what I've written with this. If you're visiting today, this is kind of an in-house matter, and just glean what you can from it. But it's just doing a little tidying up here in the house. I also want to say that I've been absent because I've been angry. And some of the angry was righteous and some of it was flesh. And I stayed gone because I needed to deal with my fleshly anger, get rid of that so that I could share completely in love. And I have been forgiven. I've dealt with the anger. And I have forgiven anyone who is part of the issue that I'm going to speak to. And I just want you to know, I don't know who's all involved with this. I was angry with an undercurrent, with some attitudes that were prevailing. But I don't know who everyone is. Gary shields me from so much. He protects me from that. So I am not speaking to any individual, but I think this is something God wants us to deal with because there are ways that he wants the church to behave and deal with things. So I'm just going to read it because I want to stay on task. Dear friends, and I consider you my friends, I'm speaking to you this morning to address the reason for my absence from this congregation for the last 2 months or so. I have been faithfully attending in town. I also had the approval of my husband during this absence. Some of you may have speculated that my absence was due to our song service returning to its traditional hymn format. Others may not have realized that I was missing. That's okay. It's not about me. The truth is that I stayed away to deal with my anger on how this was achieved. I would love to say that my anger was entirely righteous. I think of Jesus turning over the tables. Some of it was, but I knew there was an element of personal anger that I had to deal with, so I would not impact others negatively. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold. I needed time to deal with my anger so I could share with you today, free of harmful impact, but instead encouraging all of us to grow in our faith and to become more like Jesus. I have sung hymns with you for almost 14 years. No problem. I can sing hymns with you to enjoy the unity of corporate worship with you. But it is disappointing when people who have been hearing God's word preached week after week have not gotten to the point where they can say, it's okay. It's not important if all my wishes are met in church, so long as I get to worship my awesome God with those who share my faith. I openly admit I love contemporary Christian music. It speaks to me here and now. It's relevant to my life. So believe me, I understand how you can be passionate about your choice of music. But here's the point. This was a trial to fill our need for a worship leader in the absence of our relocated pianist. A simple, it's not for me, would have been an adequate response when asked how this trial was going. Instead, my husband spent countless hours on the phone dealing with this non-issue. This is simply a preference. But like most American churches, we have let this consumer mindset into our hearts and minds. Like Burger King, we think we should have it our way. But church is not about us. It's about God. He has different ideas about church and how we should look different than the world. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Hebrews 10:24 and 25 from the Message says, "Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching." There were some who even wondered if they could attend if the music was not changed back. There was much grumbling, and grumbling is not of God. It does not please Him. See the entire 40-year journey to the Promised Land. For the first time, I understood how my husband could wonder if his faithfulness in sharing God's word was really having an impact. Of course, we know, according to Isaiah 55:11, that God's word doesn't come back empty-handed or void. Still, Gary's pastor heart wants to do all in his power to see that we make it, that we finish our race as well, that we will hear God say, "Well done." All this effort for your preferences, however, should not be required. Gary and the entire pastoral team carry the burdens of the church and many in the community who aren't churched but have come to trust them as a source of refuge, comfort, and help. These burdens include crisis of relationship, crisis of finance, life or death circumstances, and sometimes the need for salvation. Does that put some perspective on whether we sing your favorite song Sunday? I'm almost certain the underground church doesn't argue about this. Yet they risk their very lives to gather together. Why? Because God designed us to need community. We need to encourage each other and share each other's burdens, not create strife. At this point, I want to thank Holly and Leslie for helping resolve the immediate issue by stepping forward to play. They were not part of the problem, but they became part of the solution. I'd also like to thank Leah, who selflessly offered her talents to fill the hole left by Karen's absence. I challenge all of us today as we go into communion to put into practice 1 Corinthians 11:27-28. In the Message, it reads, "Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death." Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. During the preface to communion, do an honest self-check. God already knows our weaknesses. Am I growing in my faith? Am I becoming more like Christ? Are there areas I need to surrender to Him? Have I made church about me and not Him? Lay it all out before Him. Then be filled with His peace as you surrender these areas to Him. Be overwhelmed by His priceless gift given to us freely, but costing Him so much more than disappointment or inconvenience. There will be changes in the journey ahead as we strive to be relevant to a world lost and going to hell. But we can grow in and through these changes. We can keep our eyes on Christ and show the world a better way. Psalm 133:1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." In the Message, the same verse says, "How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along." May God help us to this end. Your sister in Christ, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. And it's been a journey, and we're all on journeys, and it really fits, and I'm not going to preach my whole message, but it fits with what I was going to be sharing, because what Michelle did today is point one, understanding the whole of Scripture. Sometimes Scripture can really be it's nice. Sometimes it hits us right between the eyes and maybe makes us think about things that we don't want to think about. That's kind of what she was bringing out here, that how do we come across when we disagree with something? That is a big, big thing. And I think you see the apostles, they had to deal with this too. And they had meetings, they had councils, they had discussions on how to work through things. And that's how the church is. But we cannot be like the world. It's not a popularity contest. It is. We need to do all that we can to reach our lost world. And this church has come through an awful lot. And this was a trial for me as well. Because guess what? I love traditional music. I grew up with it. And I love it. But guess what? I love contemporary music too. And I look and I see Nancy in the back there. We were at the the Hartsong or Hillsong. I was going to say Hartsong. We had a group when we were in Sparta called Hartsong. But the Hillsong Conference, I love that kind of worship. I can take the flashing lights and the smoke, and I know that would send most people out at the door if we had that here. I said, I can handle that. I like that. But I love this, too. I like this morning, like singing. It was awesome. You guys, it is tremendous. But the challenge here is not in competing with each other. How many get the Sawyer County Record? Anyone? Did you read Pastor Chad's column from the Wesleyan Church?
I put it on the back.
Oh, it's on the back table. You know what? Because guess what? At Ministerial, we talk about things. So I've been talking about, he was going through the same thing at the Wesleyan Church. And I thought, he wrote an amazing article on this whole thing. And I thought, in fact, Michelle read it too. And I thought, man, it is. It is a problem all across the church in America. And what we need to do is all generations. I want to see younger people along with the older people. I don't want to have it one versus the other. We're in this together. And we need to love each other and work together. And that's what Paul was appealing to the Ephesian elders to do, is to recognize that the whole of Scripture is given. And yeah, sometimes it's going to encourage you and bless you, and sometimes it's going to hit you right between the eyes and make you think about how you are and what you're doing, and that the holiness of God, as Mike shared last week, I thought, wow, that was so powerful, so powerful. And this holy God loves us. And he wants to forgive us. And as we confess our sins, we are forgiven. And we're going to celebrate that in communion. And then the passage goes on about the importance of God's word and the fact of deception. And there's plenty of that all around us. We have evidences galore of deceptions going on. And that's why we have Scripture compared with Scripture brings balance. And we see where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be about. And then we have the challenges of all the things going around us in the world, going on around us in the world that we, as followers of Christ, need to address. And that is the bottom line here. As I look at all of this, God is at work in Northwest Wisconsin. And the churches are working together, which is amazing to be able to see, even though we don't see eye to eye in every little point. And if we did, we would hold off and start arguing, and it's like, no. But we can work together because there is such a huge, huge problem. Another good thing that's going on that you're not aware of is there was some kids who came to faith in Christ last January, some young guys that just come out of high school, and guess what? They tried about everything they could try. They were living the world's dream, the drugs, the wild parties, the sex, everything. They were just, and guess what? They found out it's not what it's cracked up to be. It's like, I don't feel happy. I don't feel fulfilled. And what is neat, in a moment, in fact, They were going to commit suicide. They thought, if this is what life is all about, and that's where Jesus met them and rescued them. And now these boys, these 20-year-old boys, they formed a group called Youth Becoming Sober. And YBS, I love the, I love the letters, in fact. And this young man came to our ministry team meeting here 3 weeks ago. David had run into him just by chance. And it wasn't by chance. I look at this as God putting things together. They needed a place to meet. And so they're starting to meet now at our Hayward campus, the youth center, on Friday nights. And Al has been letting them in since David has not been around here the past number of weeks because of his dad's passing. But I just want to encourage you that God got a hold of those guys. And now they want to take part in Mike's class about being prepared for ministry. These are 20-year-old kids that are just sick and tired of the drugs and the drinking and seeing all their friends die around them. And we need to see as a community that we've got to be behind them and reach out to this younger generation. Amen. We need to get them and we need to show them the love of Jesus. And that's what church is about. And that's what Paul was appealing to the Ephesian elders as he said, I've lived this example. I've set it for you. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And that's what it's about as we live out our faith. Am I perfect? No. Believe it or not, I get mad at Michelle. She gets mad at me. Sometimes we raise our voices. How can that be, Pastor? And it's like, yes, it does. It happens. But that's one thing I think you see about our whole ministry team. We're all honest. We're not up here saying, oh, we've arrived, we're perfect. That's what I love about Mike. Mike's one paper short of a doctorate. And I think last week you just heard what a heart he has. He's so calm and down to earth. And yet, man, the depth that God has placed in his heart. And he's brought us together to work together, all of us. And we have tremendous ministry team meetings. And we debate, we talk. Leslie's a part of them. And you're invited to come on Mondays at noon and just hear what's going on with Brenda, with Harry, with Al, and Mike, and Dan Meyer. And we have quite the, huh? Oh, and David, yeah. How could I forget David? But it is. So just know that God is at work. And what all of us need to do, and the emphasis on the final point of the message here that I had today, is the example of the fruit of God's Spirit and His servants. And that is the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. That's what we need to be known for. And again, are there battles? Yeah, there's always going to be battles. The New Testament church was full of them. But we need to turn from our sinful nature. We need to turn from the way we used to do things, and maybe the way we still feel like doing things. But what is God's way?